Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have the line with me this evening, my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G., you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Sir, I'm here.
Praise God. We thank God for allowing us to get together one more time and work through some technical difficulties the last couple of weeks. It was interesting. It said the word of God, Sheila G, burnt up that old line. We had to get a new line. Yeah, too much of that truth was going on that line, Dr. G. Yeah, get a new line. So we thank God for the new line. And we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that it will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
G, Dr. G, we had that number. Oh, my gosh. I think we had that number since 2012 for the,
yeah,
the guest call in. And, you know, when we first started doing the Bible study, we would always have these challenges, technical difficulty here. But Dr. G, some kind of way God has allowed us through his power to stay on the line. And even though it's a different phone line, and I'm sure some folks are still trying to wrestle with getting a new line, but eventually they'll be able to get it. And that's one of the things, you know, when we're studying this book of Romans, is that the Apostle Paul, he was consistent in ministering to God's people in spite of the challenges, because he understood the power of God, and that the power of God wasn't limited by anything, and that if he could continue by faith to preach and teach and minister the word of God, that you would be able to see a change in people because the power of God like you said in Romans 1:16, is the power unto salvation. And so he stayed focused on that in spite of the ups and downs, the challenges, the isms, the schisms. And we were talking about the rubber meets the road, where there was no excuses. And he just continued to preach and teach the word of God. And the word of God has not changed all through all these generations. And so I was just laughing that, you know, in spite of all the ups and downs we've had with, you know, the technology and Bible study and COVID-19 and all the challenges, that we're still able to get together and open up this word and preach and teach this word. And it still has the same power to change the hearts and minds of people, which is an awesome thing. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you're talking about that, what makes a difference is to continue to stay focused and to be focused on the word, focused on our purpose, which is to learn God's word and then let it be shown to others through the way that we live and the way that we walk and the way that we talk. And too often we lose that focus. We lose that focus based off what we see. And the older I get, I'll be having a birthday soon in a few days. The more I've learned that when God tells me something, no matter, because, you know, a man will make you doubt all the time. No matter what, even if it sounds stupid or if it doesn't make any sense or it sounds repetitive, that when God shows you something, you stay focused on that. And I think that's really how he tests us. It's like, okay, it's easy to say, I trust you, I believe in you, when everybody's going along with it. But when you have to stand alone and you have to speak out alone or you have to deal with technology or things aren't going your way, are you still going to trust? And in my years of wisdom, I've learned to not shy away from when God is speaking to me about something. And man, other people are like, that doesn't add up. And then always recognizing him. And that's the key, too, is that's how your faith grows, is when you constantly recognize when he does even the little things. Like, you know, our technology wasn't working, but look what he did. He provided another way. And we can't take that for granted. You know, because man would say, well, you know what, we just need not to have it, then forget it, and not take that extra step to push and try to continue to move in God's way.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, that's a good topic, because really, I think for us, the biggest thing is to stay focused. As Sheila G said, we have to be consistent no matter what we go through, and that's something that I think we both have learned during the pandemic, during, you know, reopening the churches and folks don't come back. You have to stay the course. And when you do look at Paul, that was what Paul was. He was consistent, even in jail. He was doing his ministry. And, you know, the Lord never said that the way was going to be easy, but he did say, if we stay the course, if we persevere, there's a blessing at the end of it all.
Amen, amen. And that is what he proves over and over again. And one of the things about Bible study is that it's not just something for the study to say I know something, but it's for to help us make it through life. And a lot of times life is more difficult because you were talking last time we were together, Sheila G, is that we don't have the tools in our toolbox. And when you have to use certain methodologies and tools to be able to get through stuff, if you don't have the right tool, it becomes more difficult to get through and to make it through and to adjust and adapt. And that's all life is we're just learning how to adjust and adapt. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are labor or heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, and that his yoke is easy and his burdens are light, or his burdens are light and his yoke is easy and his burdens are light. And so he's saying if you learn to do it this way, the burdens and the yoke would be light, but too many times people want to do it their way, and they don't want to open up that Bible. They don't want to study that Bible. They want to apply that Bible to their lives, because man has this nature, this sin nature, that he thinks he knows more than God.
Yep. Okay.
And you know, Paul pointed that out in this book of Romans. Last time we were studying verses 18-25. And I'm just going to go and read back to those in the NIV, that he's not thankful. He doesn't have an excuse, but even though he knows he doesn't have an excuse, he chooses to do his own thing. He's like a wayward child, and he is quite the character, if I want to be polite. But let's go to Romans 1, and we'll read down verse 18 down through verse 25 just to recap and just see what sinful man or sinful humanity, where he stands or where we stand. And again, there's nothing new under the sun. The same human character back then in the first century church, and is the same human character in the 21st century church, which is why we need to continue to preach and teach the gospel, because that's the only thing that has the power to deal with sinful humanity. Let's read this in chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. In other words, God is showing people their godlessness. He's showing people their wickedness. And in spite of the wickedness and the godliness, the truth of God will be revealed to show them who they are. And in verse 19, it says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, and this is the verse in the Bible that gives law, Sheila G. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood even from what has been made. In other words, you can look around and you can tell there's a divine creator. So that people are without excuse. There's no excuse. You can look at this world, and you can look at this world the way it's situated in this vast universe, and to see that it has been sustaining life since the beginning of man. That all right. The generations that ever lived it, life, this world has sustained it the way God has placed it in this universe, and the way he placed the moon, the way he placed the stars, the way he placed the sun, the way the earth revolves around the moon. And even in, we call it leap year, where you have an extra day. They explain to you why every 4 years you add a day, and how it's tilted on its axis, and how its relationship is to the sun. I think it's something like 93 million miles away from the sun, that is just far enough that it doesn't burn up, and that you have a atmosphere that sustains the ability for the creation to inhale and exhale. And then it has an ozone layer that prevents too much of the radiation coming in and burning things up. It has just enough water, has just enough ice, has just enough wind, and it has four seasons, a spring, a winter, spring, winter, summer, and fall, a time of planting, a time of reaping, and a time of renewal in the spring, a time of harvesting and fall. And all of these things just continue to happen. And, you know, you look at these things, and some people say, oh, that just, it just happened, that there was no divine creation. But God says, I've shown you that there is a divine creator. He said that the visible things of God are clearly seen by the things that I have made. And so people are without excuse. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And that those things have been going on for a long time. And, you know, I hear all kinds of stuff about whatever. But like you said, you know, when you look at the different seasons and how each one was made differently, there had to be somebody with intellect, somebody who knew what they wanted. And, you know, all this didn't just come from some gigantic explosion. So then here we are, 2024, and getting ready to go into the spring. Just left, you know, somebody who knew what they wanted and somebody who is in charge is still the creator and the master of all of that.
Amen. The creator, the master, the sustainer, and you know, man, what's interesting, we'll see this in the next few verses, man knows that, but he chooses, Sheila D., to do his own thing anyway. Let's go to verse 21. It says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, and this is the part that gives me chills, Sheila D., nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, they knew God, but even though they knew God, they wouldn't give him thanks. They wouldn't glorify him. In other words, there's something about man's humanity's sinful nature that he can know God, but still choose to do his own thing. Help me out, Sheila.
Amen. And that's the arrogance and the ego of man. And the more man points to himself or takes glory for himself or takes credit for themselves, the more evil they become. You know, when you were talking about the seasons, the oceans, the things that God made, and he made them for a reason, I had seen a documentary a couple of weeks ago of the guy from last year tried to go down where the Titanic was and this little miniature submarine called Titan or something.
Yeah.
And they kept telling him the way that the sea is made, you cannot sustain that pressure.
Right.
But he kept trying it, and he kept trying it, and the scientists, and he was the owner of the Titan Arrows, whatever it was, to go down to where the Titanic was. And there was a father and son that was supposed to be on there and were supposed to pay like $200,000 just to be able to do that, and they didn't go because something in them, something told them not to go. Well, he went, he died, evidently it blew up or whatever down there, but he had money, civilians that went with him, and his partner said that it bothered him that, not so much that the guy, the owner, did it himself, but that he took other civilians, that he was so arrogant that he had people pay him. And other civilians went down there that were rich, had all that money. See, the love of money is the root of all evil. And they died, too, by putting their trust in them, even though people kept telling him, that whole knowing, that ship's not strong enough to withhold that pressure from that deep down in the sea. But in his arrogance, he thought that he could outsmart the elements of God. And the one son, the father and son, they were like, okay, that was nobody but God. It made them trust God. It made the other people realize that this guy was trying to be God and bring others along with him. And that's kind of what you're talking about here, is they knew, they told him, he knew, but I'm going to do it anyway because I can beat God's elements.
Yeah, it's one of those things where when you get that arrogant, that you forget to give God thanks, and that's just a basic thing of people don't want to give thanks. Dr. G, they don't want to give thanks. They They think the world owes them something. And that they don't want to thank God in the morning, give God thanks for life, health, and strength. And, you know, you hear all of the songs, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, all through the word of God. The people just throw that away, and they want to give thanks to themselves and give thanks to men. But that 21st verse said their foolish hearts were darkened. And verse 22, it says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And it's crazy to think that you can outsmart God and know more than God and know who he is and still flaunt against him. And verse 23 says, in exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. In other words, they were like those folk in Moses' day that took off their earrings and all their gold jewelry, and while Moses was getting the Ten Commandments, they made the golden calf, and they began to worship the golden calf as it was God. And it's, you know, it's one of those things to read that in the Bible, but you can see in the 21st century where people are making mortal images out of, you know, cars and houses and jobs and man and woman and dogs. Some people treat the dog better than they treat the neighbor. and you know, it's foolish, but you know, just like back then, you can see it today that people are being wise in their own conceit, and they become fools, and they don't want to give thanks to God, and they make images and idols that you know are convenient for them. And God says it's foolish. Dr. G, help me out.
Well, you know, it is. But you hit on a word earlier that I think that free will, and that's what God created us with. I mean, the more I study, I do understand why he did it, because he didn't want robots to worship. You know, he wanted us to worship him and give him honor out of our own free will. But if you look at our world, not just our society, I'm talking about people all over the world, this world is just going backwards. And it's like we've lost the fear of God. We, you know, folk won't even talk about God. I mean, I think about I look back on all of my life experiences, and even after I had kids and married Sheila, look at what she went through. You know, if you stop long enough and examine self, just stroll on back through your life, you see that there had to be somebody bigger than you and I who was bringing us through. But the sad part about that is that, as you said, man thinks he's got it all together. You and Sheila were talking about that submarine or whatever, and even, who was it, Elon Musk that was creating rocket ships or whatever to go up into space, and then folk were paying to take a ride on a spaceship. I mean, we have just gone ridiculously in the opposite direction. It's like we're not afraid of anything, but it would come with Orange Man. We'll follow him to the moon and back because we like what he's talking about. People are, you know, we talk about how we're in the flesh. People are just so messed up in their minds nowadays, they just don't get it.
Yeah, it's in the word we're saying you without excuse. And you know, God says, this is why it is. And I know the last time we were together, I said, folks who want to hear it, take a pause, like on the radio station. Because God, through Paul, is getting ready to explain to him why it's like this, why people are like this. In verse 24, it says, therefore, because folks won't give thanks, because people are making images in the gods. He says, therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. So this is how he's starting to progress through this list. He's starting to go down through the list of what God gave them over to. In other words, Sheila G, God said, okay.
Okay.
I'm going to give you enough rope. Let you hang yourself. If this is what you want to do, sort of like the God's people back in the day where they said, we want a king. God said, no, you don't need a king. I'm going to lead you. And the king not going to be good for you. King going to run you and ruin you. He said, no, everybody else got a king that leads them in and out of battle, and we will have a king. God said, okay. Here's your king. And everything God said that was going to happen with them with the king happened. And so here, Sheila G, you know, God says, okay, you want to act in your foolish heart and you want to make your own gods and you don't want to give thanks. He said, I'm going to turn you over.
Yep.
And one of the most powerful things is sexual desires. And he's going to turn them over to impure sexual desires, to degrade their bodies with one another. And then he goes on to address this degrading their bodies. In verse 25, he said, they exchanged the truth about God for what? A lie.
Sound familiar?
Goodness gracious. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie.
Sound familiar?
And go ahead, Sheila G. Go ahead.
That sounds familiar. Today, back in 2016, all the evangelical church down south exchanged the truth about God, forgot all about the Beatitudes, forgot about how they're supposed to love one another, and followed that fool, put him in the White House, and things are a mess. God said, okay. And stood back, and look what's happened. It's gone downhill ever since because they exchanged the truth about, and it's so true in the scripture. It's not like they didn't know the Bible. I'm talking about the spiritual leaders. I'm not talking about the people that didn't, but they've been preaching and teaching God's word and put this fool in there and who said that he never had to ask for forgiveness before he became president. But they said, well, God, all of us have sinned, and so everybody, you have to forgive them. But, well, now they've fallen down and all followed down that slippery slope, and it's a hot mess because God said, okay, what you going to do now? And that's why I said it sounds familiar, because they definitely, knowingly, on purpose, exchanged the truth about God for a lie to create and idolize a person.
Amen. And, you know, that first part of that list of where he's going down about their sinfulness, it deals with sexual impurity. And like you said, the former president, he was caught on, I guess he was on one of those shows where they had a hot mic, and he talked about grabbing women by their private parts. But that wasn't enough. And then while he was in the White House, he was writing checks to adult entertainer to cover it up.
Yes.
He covered it up while he was doing this, while his wife was pregnant.
Right.
And so like you said, it sounds familiar. And everybody looked the other way. But God said God gave them over in sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and here it is. And worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, the word of God never changes. I mean, you can trace all of that foolishness and sinfulness and purity back to the Word of God and see where man has made his errors and how he became fools and his heart has been darkened. And the Word, Dr. D, the Word hasn't changed. It's just as plain today as it was when he first gave it. Help me out, Dr. D.
Well, you're right. And nothing has changed except that we've got more and more people who don't want to believe it or read it or, you know, live their lives by it. But it's the same. And those prophets and disciples that did preach it, and they were committed. And when you look at Paul, that's what we see. We see one committed man. And again, I go back, he was in jail ministering to other people. And yet when you look at where we are nowadays, she'll talk about the evangelicals. I mean, it's ridiculous to see, and we can go even a little further than that, even all these churches. You know, my thing is everybody wants to be a bishop. For what? You know, they want to be lifted up on a pedestal. I mean, the titles that I have is enough. But the question is, what are we going to do with it? And people are just turning their backs on what the Word says. Not enough folk are getting in the Word, so they don't understand what the Word says. They're going on emotions.
Amen, amen. Yeah, and you know, Paul finishes up that verse 25. He says, who is forever praised. And then he says, amen. In other words, and so it is. The God is forever praised. So in other words, even though man comes up with these lies and he exchanges, you know, the truth of God for a lie, that doesn't negate the fact that God is God. He is our creator, and he is forever to be praised. And so God gets a little deeper. He starts off the list with their hearts being darkened and immoral or impure with their bodies with each other. And then he goes down and he lists some more. And Sheila G starts off in verse 6. He said, because of this, because they didn't worship God, they wanted a lie and changed, you know, the truth of God for a lie. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. He said even their women exchange natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandon natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their errors. It's the same word, Sheila G. People try to dance around and try to figure out why this is like this and why is this like this and why men want to go with men and women want to go with women. It's because of sin. And, you know, it's one thing for people to try to, you know, and a lot of times people try to do that. They try to use the word out of context. But sin is sin, whether you're a man with a man in sin, or you with a man with a woman in sin, or a woman with a woman in sin, or a woman with a man in sin. Sin is sin, and so people try to pick it out and say, "I might be sinning, but at least I'm sinning with a woman, or I'm sinning with a man." It's still sin, and so people will take this out of context and twist it and try to make, you know, other people the other, you know, it's like, well, at least I'm not as bad as them. Or at least they're not bad at least, you know, and you have this back and forth. But God says all of these sins come under the same category of being a lie and impure. And, you know, you have to understand that this is the cause of why the world is in such a disarray now. Is because God said, okay, you want a king? Let you have your king. you say you want to do your own thing? God said, do your own thing. You want to go out with a man, even though you're a man? Going out there, you want to be your own man. You want to be with a woman? Going out there with your own woman. And you know, he's going to list some other things in later on in this chapter. But what God basically is doing is saying, okay, you don't believe me? He said, I can show you better than I can tell you.
Right.
and this is what's happening. You hear your parents and your grandparents, they say you a hard head makes a soft behind, and if you make your bed hard, you gotta lie in it. And you know, some people say if the shoe fit, wear it. And you know, we wearing that shoe. Sinful man is wearing that shoe, laying in that hard bed, and has a soft behind because of sin. And some people just want to take this verse out of these two verses out of context, but you got to read the whole chapter, Dr. G. You got to read the whole thing in context. You just can't pick and choose and cherry pick to say, oh, that's because of the men with the men and the women with women. And don't look at my adultery. Don't look at my, you know, fornication. At least I'm not with a man or I'm not with a woman, you know, and, But Sheila G, they forget about verse 28 where it says furthermore. That means there's more to the story. But people want to end the story and they want to talk about people that are men with men and women with women, and people in the world have different definitions and stuff like that. I just stick to the word where it says men with men and women with women. What people can call it all kind of different names, and you know, we've got so many characters. I think it's L, I think it's G, I think it's B, I think it's T, I think it's Q, and then they just put a plus on the end, which I ain't got nothing against mankind, because I know mankind, but I'm just going back to what the word said, Dr. G and Sheila G, not to pick on anybody or point out somebody saying more than anybody else is saying. You understand what I'm saying, Sheila G?
I understand exactly what you're saying. That just like to make it even smaller, it's like when people say it's a little white lie versus a black lie, it's still a lie, you know.
Right.
Or a big lie or a little lie, a lie is a lie. Sin is sin. Sexual immorality is sexual immorality. So you can't point the finger at anybody else because, like, you know, they say you got three fingers pointing right back at you. So you. That's why the Bible tells us to mind our own business. You know, like that guy handled that. That's why he tells us not to judge lest we be judged.
There you go.
We got to clean up our own backyard and take care. I got to get that big thing out of my eye before I can take the splinter out of yours. And that's what's happening. Everybody's pointing the finger, judging everybody else, looking at everybody else. Instead of saying, let me examine myself, let me do what I'm supposed to do, and allow the Lord to handle all the rest of it. But yes, people are constantly taking things, little pieces out of the Bible, and not using to judge themselves accordingly, but will use it to try to beat somebody else up. But it's all in there. Sin is sin. A lie is a lie.
Amen. And chapter 2 talks about that God's not a respecter of persons. We'll get to that when we get to it. Dr. G, you want to chime in on these last two verses?
Well, I think you and Sheila have really summed it up. People have been doing this for years. You know, they try to cover up what they do to make it seem all right. But like you said, a lie is a lie. You know, black is black and white is white. Simple as that.
Amen.
Wrong.
Amen. And so, you know, a lot of times folks want to stop at verse 27 and they don't want to pick up verse 28. Verse 28 says, furthermore, in other words, there's more to the story. He said, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind. I think in the King James, they call it the famous one they always use, a reprobate mind. I think that's what the King James says, a reprobate mind. And NIV, it says a depraved, God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. In other words, with that free will, that they do what you want to do, and to hear that term, say you smelling yourself, you big and bad enough to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, and so guys are, go ahead, get your bad self. And so what's the consequences of doing what they ought not to do is in verse 29, it says they have become filled with what? Every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are what? Gossip, slander, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways to do evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity. Look at this right here. No love, no mercy. Oh, my goodness. And so this list, it continues on. That's why I say people trying to you know, harp on verses 26 and 27 and attack the community of people that were the men with men and the women with women, but then they don't want to go down to verse 28 through verse 31 to say that's just part of it. We got to hit the furthermore that we in this thing too. Help me out, Sheila.
Amen. And that's why we have to pray and ask daily, because we are in this sinful nature. And so we can't act like we don't. Every day we have to ask God to forgive us for our sins of omission or commission, and to act like holier. That's why I have that thing about people that act holier than thou, like they've never done or they don't do any things that they don't need to repent before the Lord for. So how can you talk about somebody else? And I really believe why people do point the finger at everybody else, because they're trying to cover up their own shortcomings. But cover it up for who? Man doesn't have a heaven or a hell to put you there.
There you go.
It's all about God, which is what Paul is talking about. All of y'all, turn your back on the Lord. Turn your back on the Lord out of ignorance. You knew better, which is worse.
Oh, my goodness.
You knew better, and you did it anyway. And that is the problem that we have with a lot of churches. Instead of taking and putting things out and turning things for good, we're compromising based off, this group can do this, but this group can't do this, and this group can relate because this community is always like this. No, God is love, and we need to show love. And he put in there no love, murder.
Oh,
no
my
love,
goodness.
Greed, all of it, which is all in our sinful nature, unless you trust in God. And he's listing all these things because God's like, okay, y'all don't want to be obedient, and especially those of you that know the Lord, have at it. And then what does that cause? Strife, confusion, and a hot mess.
Mm-hmm. Dr. G, that's a rough list, man. I mean, When he said no love, no mercy, oh my goodness, and God haters, that's some rough stuff, Dr. G. Help me out, man.
Well, it is, but he's making it plain and simple. But when you look at where we are, it's all coming true. So, you know, it's there in the Word. We can't dispute it. And the Bible says that we all have sinned to come short of the glory of God.
Yeah, it's an eye opener that you know, nobody can point the finger. Those that were under the law were guilty, and those that were without the law were guilty. And you know, the bottom line is when God leaves us to our own devices, we are in deep doo doo. We in trouble. and to finish this chapter out in verse 32, it says, although they know God's righteous decree. This is what makes it bad, Sheila G. Mm-hmm. That those who do such things deserve death. In other words, they know it's going to lead to death. But then this is the one where we were talking about last time we were together. that they don't want to go down themselves. They want to bring everybody else down with them. So it says they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And in other words, they want folks to come along to their party. And in verse 32, I'm gonna read that in King James. It says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do they do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." In other words, they enjoy it, and they're gonna do their thing. And God said, "Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and let you do your thing because you know better, but you're gonna do it anyway." And you know, that's where that term, a hard head makes a soft behind. And God said, "You know these things are worthy of death, but they don't care. They don't. They're God haters. They are going to do their thing." And you know, Paul started this section with saying, "You're without excuse." And mm-hmm. and it's something when you know the truth, and you still choose to follow a lie.
Right.
It doesn't. The math doesn't add up. it's not going to do you any good to try to make that math add up, because it'll never add up. And you know, God wants you to stop playing the fool.
Yeah.
Stop playing the fool. And you know, we want to hear some folks this evening on the phone line to see how can you tell the difference between the truth and a lie in this world? How can you tell the difference between the truth and the lie? And you know, people have different ways, but you know, I think that you can tell the truth between a lie in this world is by studying and knowing the Word of God. But I want to hear what somebody else has to say. We're going to go to our first caller, the last four digits, 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Well, the way I can tell the difference between a truth and a lie is if you are into the Lord and you trusting in Him and you believe in Him and you reading your scriptures, and from the things that's been happened to you in your life and what God has shown you, you know what is a lie. Even if you 15 or 16, you know what's mm-hmm. a lie and what's not a lie. You believe and trust in the Lord. If you fall in the Lord, of course, we all going to fall sometime. But if you've got faith and trust in your heart and you believe in Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and you read your Bible, you into the Lord, you know the difference between a lie and the truth.
Amen.
You know, because it shows itself all around you, and especially shows itself to the ones who do trust and believe in the Lord, because He's going to show you.
Amen.
He's going to let you see how it is. He's going to do something in your life to show you that He is the true one. And if
yeah.
you can't get it, there's something wrong with you. You need to just move over if you can't get it, because it's right there for you to see. He shows you every day that every promise He put in His Bible, He can back it up.
Amen.
So, I think it's up to us to know what's right and wrong, even if we slip or fall or whatever you want to call it. God, you talk to the Lord. Confess your sins, He will forgive you. But He ain't going to mm-hmm. keep forgiving you. He ain't going to keep on doing the same thing, everything, all the time. You can't do it like that. Think you can just mm-hmm. do what you want to do. You saw it. No, that's not how it works. Uh-uh. You're going to get a lesson somewhere in between there, because she's going to set you down.
Amen.
That's
so,
great.
I'm just thankful that I believe and trust in Him, and I don't do everything right. When I don't, I go to Him and talk to Him, because He is the only one this guy's going to save me. Not man, not no man, not man in this world. So I know who I have my belief and my trust in. So I know the difference between a lie and the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, the truth and the truth will make you free. He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 1712. 1712, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yeah, I definitely think you touched on it in your earlier comment when you talked about the truth versus a what is it? How do you know the truth versus a lie? I definitely think you have to stay prayed up. But I also think in this case, you have to lean on experience. We've been in this world long enough where we know truth is ugly. It's not the most popular. People don't like it, and lies always feel good. And I think it goes back to the old saying that, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, then it normally is. But I think for us, it's being more, it's basically conforming to our comfort level, because what is it really? Most people don't want to face the truth. Most people don't want to deal with it. So you naturally go to the lie because it sounds easier. We justify things with ourselves. I think there's so much convenience, if I could just lump it into one word, with the lie, it's easy.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to question it. It feels good. Yep. You can psych yourself out and tell yourself whatever you want, and then we just move on. But see, the problem is the truth, when it gets a hold of you, it makes you have to hold yourself accountable. You have to do things the right way, and people consistently don't want to deal with it. So I think that we know better. We just don't do better. I think people who generally fall towards the lie, they know that it's a lie, but it just feels good. It's convenient. It's just, if I deal with the truth now, with everything I got going on, I'm just not trying to take that on. So let me just deal with this lie just this one time. And then what happens is those become repeatable steps. And now you're always leaning towards the lie. You're always going towards the lie because it feels good and it's convenient. And it's like when you have to be prayed up and stayed in that word, you're now loyal to God. And sometimes being loyal to God means you got to bypass your comfort zone. It means you got to bypass being vulnerable. It means you got to look up and look at that mirror and be like, hey, this is my truth. This is where I'm at. But so many times, and look at it, social media, half that stuff is lies. The news, the media, the politician, what are they doing? Feeding us lies. So we're always surrounded by lies, and we believe it to be the truth. Then why would we think that our actions when it comes to Christianity wouldn't be much more of the same? We know the word of God, but what happens when we have to act that word out? It's too hard. It's too difficult. Now's not the right time, Pastor. So what do? We start living this lie. We start putting this mask on and living a lie and trying to be standing upright, knowing that that's not us, knowing that's not how we were raised from the old school people who used to do it back in the day. But we've just conformed to society, and that's why society's always preached this whole, you know, you don't have to be perfect, you don't have to do this, it's okay to lie. What they call it, a little white lie, but it's like, guess what?
Yeah.
The truth may cost you nothing, but guess what? The lie will cost you everything. How many times is it that people have had to lie so much that you got to remember the lie, then all of a sudden you start believing the lie, and then you forget who you are? I know people literally that have lost themselves because they've lied so much. They've conditioned themselves to believe things that are not true, to believe that they are things that they are not, because they've lied so much it's become embedded in the very fabric of their DNA. So when you talk about truth and lies, it's really an inner thought. How secure are you with yourself? How secure are you with your religion? How secure are you that if you stand on truth, you might be standing alone? That's a conversation most people don't want to have, nor do they want to face. So what do? We just stick with the lie, because guess what? Lying requires nothing much more of us than what the truth will. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Yeah, that all starts with that daggone big lie that Satan told Adam and Eve back in the garden. But the lie felt good. We're going to go to our next caller, the last four digits, 4580. 4580, good evening.
Good evening to all.
Good evening.
If I recall correctly, in Romans, the first chapter, around verse 28, Paul says, man and woman are without, have no excuse because God gave them a conscience to figure out right from wrong.
That's right.
Right.
So therefore, keeping that in mind, sometimes they choose to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they incorporate wrongdoing in their lives, they become more depraved, and
yeah.
They don't get to a point, they probably don't know right or wrong and don't care.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It is wise for them to know God is a forgiving God. And if they can catch themselves, they can go to God and ask for forgiveness for their wrongdoing. And he is a God, a patient God, and a merciful
yeah.
God. And he will forgive them. They don't want to be in a situation that they are in a state of sinfulness, because they don't know when Jesus is coming back for his church.
Come on now.
And if they're in a state of depravity or in sin to their ears, you know, smothered in sin, they will not be called up to be with him.
Right.
So a word to the wise, Paul is saying, get it right, because
amen.
If you left to go with Satan, the father of lies, you're going to find him you're going to join him in the pit of fire that never will stop burning. So
amen.
That's my understanding of a lie versus the truth.
Amen. God bless
you. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila D., that's some heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Word to the wise. Word to the wise. Definitely a word, I think, all of our callers. But God makes it plain in his word, and that's what I love about the word is, you know, Jesus said, you know, he is the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, he is the truth. And he hasn't been hidden, and the word hasn't been hidden. But Sheila, do you want to final comment and close us out in prayer, please?
I think it's been said best that we better follow God's way and not compromise with any lies. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for teaching us your word, Lord. Lord, I pray, Father, that you, those of us that are on the line or those that listen later, that we will know that you are the truth and the truth should set us free, and not to lean to our own understanding, not to allow peer pressure to cause us to do things that go against your word, Lord, but to put you first always. And if we do mess up, to come to you and sincerely repent, because you are the truth, and there's no compromising that. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Night.